Welcome to the Feminine Podcast, the podcast of Feminine, where we talk about a little bit of femme, a little bit of EM, and everything in between. And in particular, we're going to be talking about some jelly beans. But let me not jump ahead. This is Rissy E. Lewis. I'm hosting a special series from Sydney, Australia. I have a special co-host, Doug Lynch. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Doug Lynch of the Jelly Bean Podcast, normally found on Life in the Fast Lane and the Intensive Care Network, and I'm honoured to have been invited to come along and join the Feminine Podcast today and talk a little bit about some of the stuff that's been happening here in Sydney.
Yeah. Would you like to introduce our special guest with whom we're speaking?
Okay, we've got Dr. Chris Bowles, trauma specialist and general all-round good woman who's been involved in SMAC since the very beginning. How did you do it? Why did you do it? I mean, tell me, seriously. But no, first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us a little bit about what you do in your day job and, you know, what sort of area of medicine you're working in and how you got there.
Sure. Thank you for having me. So I am something of a unicorn. I'm an emergency physician by background, but I also practice in the trauma department. So I'm a trauma staff specialist. And what that means is that I span the range, right from the recess room through to the inpatient service to the moment the patient gets discharged. I take care of trauma patients. I also help to run the trauma outpatient clinic, as well as attending to admin, education, research, and other various functions associated with the trauma department.
Chris, we're delighted that you made time in your schedule because you have been an integral part of SMAC, not just this year, but all years from the beginning. So why don't you tell us a little bit about SMAC? Assume our listeners really don't know much. And this is a very special conference. It's actually coveted and the tickets are very difficult to get, although people have their ways. But assume we don't know anything. Take us from the beginning.
Okay. So SMAC stands for Social Media and Critical Care. And it's probably fitting that I flag right now. We've totally outgrown that label. But it started off as a movement that was loosely tied to the small explosion in websites to do with critical care medicine, ED, and anaesthetics.
And what year was that?
That was in 2013.
Got it.
So Life in the Fast Lane, Intensive Care Network, and all the other associated websites. We really wanted to capture that energy, that uprising, and feeding off that came a whole host of associated activities, including workshops, social media activity, which kept the conversation around critical care going all year. We basically wanted to make a bunch of changes to the way conferences were delivered, make them more interactive, and also change the way in which people presented. So leaning more towards a TED style of presentation, which has now become much more common. In those days, it was less so. Getting the speakers to tell a story, to use pictures, not data-heavy slides, and to really mine their own experience. And it was less about whether somebody had a lot of letters and stuff on their CV, and more about whether they could actually deliver a good talk. So open to all levels. And it wasn't just doctors who were speaking, it was nurses, paramedics, and now as it's grown, allied health, social workers, beyond.
Absolutely everybody involved now, which has been absolutely gorgeous thing to watch. I've had the pleasure, Risa, of being at everyone except Chicago, which I think is the first one you went to. And it has been an incredible thing to watch develop and the sort of sense of community around it, which the first one was a really novel thing. The first one really was a bit of a kind of like, it's Woodstock for medicine, right? There was this sort of unusual feeling. Everybody was in it together. There were people walking around doing stuff. Loads of people had met each other through social media and they sort of like, you know, through Twitter or something like that. But then when they met each other in person, it was really, really nice. And the feeling of connection was really good. It was like a pre-made friendship group. And that, I think, has been a big part of why it's been successful. And, you know, I've loved coming to them. What was Chicago like?
Well, I will tell you about Chicago, but I just want to say, like, I'd like to share, like, how SMAC came on my radar. So I am emergency medicine. I'm ultrasound. And I had started to get into podcasts, and I would watch the ultrasound podcast. And I saw Matt Dawson and Mike Mallon doing something that looked very, very fun, very engaging in Australia. And I thought, what is this? So I started Googling, reading website, Twitter, and start getting all different forms of social media. And it really seemed, to your point, TED-Med, TED-esque in terms of the quality, in terms of the interaction, in terms of the down-to-earth quality of talk, quality of education, quality of space, quality of design, quality of food, like all things that are actually quite important to me. And I actually, it's not a Risa thing. It's actually, I think humans respond when they are surrounded by this kind of quality. They just don't know, because I think they're used to like stale hotel, windowless, air-conditioned, hyper-processed food. Not that I have strong feelings about any of that. But so because of what I saw on podcasts and the ultrasound, I called John Baylitz. And I said, John, it seems like you're involved. Like, how do you think I can, if I'm interested? And he said, well, you know, we're going to be in Chicago. We need some ultrasound educators. Would you be interested? I was, yes. And so that was my first entree. I experienced it in Chicago. And it's sort of like once you attend, you want to keep attending. And we talked a little bit about this before recording today about what it is that's infectious about SMAC. So, Chris, you said we don't feel that you have to include everybody, but who would you say are worth mentioning in terms of the we that started from the beginning and have kept this strung along to 2019?
So I guess the core group would include, of course, Ollie Flower, Roger Harris, and Chris Nixon, who was not formally part of the organising committee when we started, and he's not this year, but he's been heavily involved in directing SMAC. I've been involved since its inception, and you know, you can have a look on the website. There are many members of the organising committee, but many have been involved since the early days. So Natalie May, for example, was a registrar who came to the first SMAC. I saw that she was very active on Twitter, so I tapped her on the shoulder at coffee time and said, how would you like to be involved and get onto the organising committee? And she was delighted to take part, and she's been a very proactive member. So it's kind of has an organic sort of feel to it. No one's ever wanted to leave, but we've sort of collected people as we've gone along.
And I remember meeting Natalie and all of those sort of characters who were quite junior at the time, you know, but clearly talented. And that's one of the nice things, the way you've done it, and that like knocking down quite a few barriers in terms of like if you might be a medical student, you might be a junior doctor, you might be a training nurse, and so on and so forth, and you get the opportunity to stand up if you're willing to take the opportunity. How do you kind of find the people as you go along doing something like this? Or do they come to you like, I mean, that's pretty fortuitous. You said like, oh, this woman looks like an interesting woman. Let's go find out what she's doing. And you go and ask her. Or is there millions of different ways that you find the people that end up speaking on stage?
Yeah, I think it's a fairly organic process, to be honest. I'm sure we're employing some complex algorithms that we couldn't begin to understand. However, I actually see it as a negative if somebody pushes themselves forward. It's one of the things that's affected conferences in the past is that we've had the same people speaking over and over again, and so at every SMAC we've had people who push themselves forward who perhaps are on the conference circuit. That's actually what we don't want. So we tend to go out and find people. Chris Nixon and Steve Matthew have done an amazing job of this, and I'm not quite sure how they've achieved it, but they've worked incredibly hard through all methods, you know, face-to-face communication, networking through all means, using social media, getting recommendations. They're very careful about vetting people, checking out their previous talks. There was even talk of doing auditions at one stage, so it's a very thorough and very engaged process.
Oh yes, I mean, it's definitely a cut above. So that's Chris Nixon, famously of Life in the Fast Lane, and Steve Matthew off the Bottom Line.
Yes,
yes, absolutely brilliant. So the with these characters, with trying to do this, and the idea of, I mean, people must get quite anxious. I mean, increasingly, it's a big deal to stand up in front. I mean, there was 600 at the first one. There's 3,000 people at this one. Is that about right?
Yeah, yes. Something like that.
So that's a bit of growth. And so now if you're standing up on your own telling a story, which are increasingly emotive stories because people are often putting more of their personal sense, how do people go with that sort of transition to the talk to microphone, stand behind a lecture and read the notes type sort of thing to now what's kind of expected? I mean, you talked about the sort of TED thing, but not everybody can stand up there and perform like that. I mean, you're requiring performers, but requiring people that haven't been performing for ages. So you're kind of looking for new talent. So do people freak out? Do people have problems? Or do people get anxious? We're looking at a great big room of people that, you know, that's the peers, people that they really respect out in front of them, and they're up there on their own, nothing to hide behind, ear microphone, go.
It's so interesting standing backstage and watching people about to go on. So there's the range from, you know, practically or literally vomiting with nerves to cool as a cucumber. And we all remember John Hines, after whom the plenary session on the opening, on the first day, was named. He was very calm. Nothing could rattle him.
There was no difference between
the calmest speaker I have ever seen. Some people do require a bit of support. So to start with, for the first couple of years, we sent everyone a copy of Talk Like TED. And after a while, it had entered the common lexicon, and we assumed that most people would have read it by the time they spoke at SMAC. Some people, I think, have required a bit of individualised help, and members of the organising committee have been available to help at any level. Possibly it's just tweaking the slides, but they're also available for more extensive coaching.
Cool. So I was just going to say that basically John Hines is an unusual character, who essentially didn't seem to want any fame or any credit or anything. He just wanted to be a really good medical teacher, and he was incredible about, like, it didn't make a difference whether you met him in the pub or you sat in a room doing a podcast, which I did with him, or he had him up on stage. He was just the same guy everywhere. It was a remarkable thing, and very, very funny Northern Irish man. Anyway.
Let me just say that, listeners, if you're concerned about catching all these Twitter websites, even old podcasts, I'll make sure all these are in the show notes. Now, this is not the first time that you two have spoken together at SMAC and for a podcast. Do you want to talk a little bit about what it was like then when you were speaking versus what your role and what it's like now?
Well, we had no idea what we were doing in 2013. So, with one exception. So, Roger had been running conferences for about 20 years. Mm. So, he knew the game. But this was something...
20 years.
Yes.
Wow.
So, he's very experienced and he has all the contacts. But this was something new. So, we were just making it up as we went along. You know, that was very much our teenage phase, where we wanted to rebel against the established conference scene. We weren't quite articulate about how to do it, but we had this sort of critical mass and this energy, and we wanted to forge ahead with a not completely formed plan, roadmap.
Yeah, and that's kind of and how we came together doing that podcast was the same sort of thing. I had been up at one of the previous conferences, and I'd met Matt McPartland, Ollie, Chris, and Roger, and we were talking about a thing they were planning to do. I think Roger was there, actually, but it was the other three. And they were planning to do this sort of SMAC idea. And I came down here with a microphone stuck into an iPhone, and I literally walked around and talked to people and met them as I went along. I didn't really have a massive plan. I didn't have a name that I wanted to, I need to talk to him, need to talk to her. But I met Chris, and I sort of pressed Chris into having a little talk with the microphone. He's going, like, "Why do you want to talk to me?" And we sat down and we had a chat about it, and we'd be recorded this short podcast. And I was very interested in some issues around gender representation at the first conference, and I felt that some of the humour was too blokey, and I was chatting with you about it and so on. And after that podcast, one of the funny things that happened was you said, "Oh, I'm off to go to the Fabulous Females of Foam meeting now," and you invited me along, right? In spite of my certain, I'm just short one X chromosome. And that was actually a really wonderful thing for me, because I went along and I sort of sat in the background and saw all these fantastic women who were there, and there was several people talking about the same thing. And it brought about, some, I think, constructive feedback. I wasn't on the inside. I've never been on the inside in SMAC, from people about how things could be improved, about representation, not only of women, but of different AAM people at different points in the training, people from different parts of the world, different colours, different everything, right? So some people felt that could be done better. And then, in fairness, it did get a whole lot better. I mean, like every single time, the following year, which would be the Gold Coast, completely different, opened by Victoria Brazel, no less, and so on. So the whole thing had moved along. How did it feel like on the inside when you got that? I mean, did people sort of feel like they got a lot of criticism, and was the feedback, did it feel positive after SMAC 1?
Generally, the feedback was very positive. I think with every negative comment that was made, we took it quite personally because we were so invested in this project. That you're right, it was a recurrent theme, that we did not have good gender balance or balance in other regards, so race and professional background, and we also sought to address those aspects. But it was something that I felt very strongly about as well, so there was a certain push from within the organising committee. I must also say there was a bit of resistance from within the organising committee. However, we did manage to effect that change and to improve our gender equity.
mean, you're damn right you did. I mean, forgive me, but it's, you know, you really did. I mean, it was a very significant change. And I think you should be congratulated. And I think you, in your role in the committee, should be congratulated for your how you've managed to make that happen. Because I know, I won't be able to get you to say this on this podcast, but I would know you've been a big part of how that's developed. So, you know, it's been fantastic, and thanks.
Okay, thank you, Doug.
No, Chris, I was told, because SMAC is also known for its design, and health design is sort of a niche within itself. But when we think about the website each year, when we think about the background, the T-shirts, even this year with the triangle, what role have you played? My understanding is you play a role in the design and in sort of the background technology.
So, well, actually, I would say that my role has changed each year. As the organisation has evolved, I have had to just adapt and go forward. So when we started the conference, I was technically in charge of social media, and that meant that I ran the Twitter feed. The Twitter account. So I was SMAC team. And I think people had the impression we had banks of people sitting at computers with head mics. And the reality was that
it was
me on the fly. And I think it's so funny when you see retrievalists, they like to post pictures out of the helicopter window and say, "Welcome to my office." Well, if I'd done that, it would have been the inside of a Daihatsu Syrian or the anaesthetic change room at St. George Hospital.
Love it.
So that is basically, that was my role. I felt like my head was in a blender, but I was just trying to keep up with the Twitter feed, not just keep up with it, but direct it and shape the conversation. So that was a really important part of how the conference looked and felt, the language that we used, the conversations that were encouraged and amplified, and those that were basically shut down. And interestingly, both ISIS and the Russians used this technique much more effectively than I did subsequently, but using bots and sock puppets and so on. And I did it in a much more kind of whimsical, organic sort of way, and kept it all very personal. But I chose which conversations to have and how to have them.
Perfect.
A good use of Twitter, because there's so many bad uses of Twitter. But I mean, it's worth remembering that there are useful things that can be done with it. I think it was really imaginative. I hadn't come across anybody else doing that when you did it first. The Twitter moderation, the first one, was one of the things that set up the whole personality of the whole thing. So even if you were bent over, you know, in a car, instead of trying to look at the tiny screen and so on and so forth, it worked. Well done.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. The vibe in and around the space, I mean, the energy and the cross-generational aspect of it from the very beginning has been a feature. And you guys have worked quite hard to get younger people along and get people from different backgrounds along and supporting them in terms of giving them free or reduced price tickets. That's pretty cool. Can you tell me a little bit about that, please?
Yeah, so we have a number of reduced price tickets which are allocated for registrars, nurses, paramedics, allied health. Those are at cost price, so although they probably still seem relatively expensive, this is quite a costly affair to run. And so it just covers the cost of the venue and the opening ceremony and all the entertainments and eating and drinking and so on while you're at SMAC.
Yes, absolutely. And then things like SMAC Junior and now SMAC Reach and all these other things that we've done to try and get other people to come along. So tell us a little bit about SMAC Junior, which is a cute thing in itself, and I think it's really smart.
Yeah, no, we have a bunch of student volunteers. I was very fortunate to have a couple of them at the trauma workshop, but they are super eager, ready to help, very involved in the conference, and they get to attend for free. So that's been amazing to be involved in.
And you've actually brought some from overseas as well.
Yeah, that's right.
And paid for their costs because, of course, they're students.
Yes.
That's pretty cool. All right. Now, SMAC Reach.
SMAC Reach. So we have a number of overseas delegates who come from low and middle income countries, and their attendance is being supported. So flights and accommodation paid for, as well as their tickets. And the idea is to share the knowledge, understanding that all of this information will be available by podcast and vodcast, but knowing as well the importance of face-to-face interaction and that nothing replaces that.
Yeah, it goes back to this concept of networking and meeting people that are like-minded and inspiring, and then you can continue that conversation, that relationship when you leave the face-to-face.
Yeah, right.
I think something that strikes people about SMAC is its innovation and the innovative aspects, two of which you highlighted. Two things that struck me is when you pay, you have the option to pay for someone, to sponsor someone, which it sounds so obvious, but yet it's not common for conferences. And the other part that I just think is beautiful is sponsoring like family space for people that cannot or don't want to and are bringing family, and so that there's childcare. Can you talk about the origins of that?
Yeah, sure. It seems like a very obvious thing to start, and
yeah,
it's a loss leader. And we're completely okay with that,
yeah.
You know, that people should be able to bring their children along, check them into the creche if they so wish.
Yeah.
You know, mothers of breastfeeding babies can
yeah.
bring the baby along, park the pram, bring the baby into the auditorium. That's completely fine.
Yeah. Again, it seems so obvious and so inclusive, yet traditionally medicine is so exclusive in these ways that I think thoughtfulness in those ways, in these ways, specifically like family-friendly, allowing access to people that may not typically have access to a conference, is what makes what SMAC is special.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I think the design of it all almost feels like a playground sometimes as well. There's always been a playfulness in and around the design motifs that you guys have chosen. And color has been, I mean, it's massively colorful.
Yeah.
And it's always, everything that comes out has got a little look, and it's a pretty special thing. But the increased number of children around has been fantastic. And now, of course, collaboration, because you guys aren't exclusive. You've got your SMAC Mini, which involves a lot of people from things like Don't Forget the Bubbles and so on. They've been doing various different workshops with you, sometimes bringing them across almost as a team. And then today you had a children's ultrasound thing, which you were at, Risa. That was great.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, I don't know how many times I've done ultrasound training. It's not very often that I get to learn from a specialist with a child. It's just something that I was expected to figure out some other time. So that was pretty good. I like that. How did that go today?
It went very well. But you actually, the challenge was not missed on you. It's actually education, point-of-care ultrasound education, specifically when you're trying to teach pediatric applications, is difficult because you get human models and there's logistics of having them off from school, having them be an age where they can sit still, also getting permission and being respectful of them and teaching them respect. It's not simple,
yeah.
But it was very well executed today.
Yeah. And I found myself playing something like dodgeball with some of the children outside.
Yeah.
Just, so there was that they were enjoying
Sounds
it.
Sounds like a fun day out.
Yeah, it was a bit so like certainly in my element anyway.
I'm going to bring our lovely conversation to a bit of a close. Just announcement to listeners. As I said, you will find juicy information, chock full of information on the show notes. This is one in a series of podcasts that we're broadcasting, collecting, conducting live in Sydney, Australia. And I'd like to sort of close with some final thoughts about what is upcoming for the next few days and maybe what might be coming for the future. Chris, whatever you want to say.
Okay, well, I'm not sure how much I should disclose here, but I'm just going to say the Queen is dead. Long live the Queen.
Perfect. Perfect. Doug, any final comments or words?
I can't beat that. I was just so hoping you wouldn't ask me.
That was hopelessly enigmatic.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely brilliant. No, it may be the end of a certain thing at SMAC and so on. We're all very excited to see what happens next. They're going to make an announcement on Thursday morning,
mm-hmm.
and which is interesting because the announcement is usually on Friday afternoon, so there must be a reason for that. And yes, I given the energy that you guys have created, given the community that you've created deliberately and accidentally, given the way that you've somehow made social media, not just social media on a phone, but the social and interactive face-to-face part has been such a big part of this, I think that you guys have created accidentally or deliberately a movement, and it'd be a shame not to use that movement for good.
Thank you. And I'd just like to finish talking about the final session, which is about where we go with technology in medicine.
Mm.
So it's been one of the fascinating directions that as the themes have got bigger and bigger, we're sort of looking more and more towards the future. So I think that's where we go next.
Yeah. Doug, thank you so much for letting me join you on a podcast. Thank you for joining me on a podcast. I really like what's happened here, and actually, let's plan to do it again tomorrow.
Oh, and my position on Jelly Bean Podcast is the less I talk, the better. So I'm loving this. Let's do it again.
Okay. And should we all say cheers on the count of three? One, two, three.
Cheers!